for the delay. We had a few technical glitches we're trying to deal with. My name is Beher Esmet. I work for ICANN, and I'm going to give this brief introduction on new GTLDs. The session is actually being streamed online for remote participation. We're also trying to get the presentation uploaded on the Adobe remote participation as well. In fact, I'm giving this presentation on behalf of my colleague, Carla Valente, who is the director of the communication, and she got sick this morning, so she couldn't make it. This is to brief you on the new GTLD program, what it's about, and where we are in the process. Historically, before the establishment of ICANN in the early and mid-90s, people who wanted to register domain names under .com/.net and .org, they used to go to one company called Network Solutions and register their names with that single company. So there wasn't really a competition in that space. So one of the requirements that came in the early documents of establishing ICANN, which was known then as the new corporation, and that was in 1997 before the actual establishment, was to introduce competition and to foster competition in the domain name space. So this is a bit of background on why ICANN has been working on introducing more top-level domains to the space and to continue working on fostering and promoting competition in generic top-level domains. So I'm sure most of you know this, so when we talk about top-level domains, we mean .org. So if you look at the address www.icann.org, so org is the top-level domain, while ICANN is the second-level domain, and then you can go down to third level and so on and so forth. ICANN is the entity that oversees policies in relation to top-level domains. I'm sorry, I need to switch this off. Okay, so we have a number of registries who manage the generic top-level domains, and those registries have contractual relationships with ICANN, and they run top-level domains like .com, .net, .info, .museum, .travel, and so on and so forth. And then we have a number of accredited registrars, and those are the companies that end users, registrants, can go to register their domains, and we also have contracts with our registrars. Currently, we have more than 900 accredited registrars. Then registries and registrars, they also have agreements together. So registries, they have to offer their services through the ICANN accredited registrars. And then there are a number of resellers. Those are companies that resell registrars' services. And ICANN doesn't have contracts with those companies. So those companies are resellers to the registrars, and they have business relationships with those registrars, and then it's up to the end user, the registrant, whether he wants to register his or her domains with resellers or with accredited registrars. So this is the more or less how the ecosystem of the generic name top-level domains look like, basically. On the other hand, there are CCTLD registries like .KEEG, UK, etc. So those registries, they're not, they don't have formal relationships with ICANN. They have the option to consider having any type of exchange of letter or contract with ICANN, but that's up to them to decide. And also they have the freedom to decide on policies in relation to name registrations under their top-level domains. So the policy for registering names under .ke is totally up to the KE registry to decide on. So this is in a nutshell how the DNS system in terms of the different players look like. This is a brief history on the GTLD namespace. So when ICANN was established, there were already seven top-level domains, com, net, edu, gov, and so on and so forth, and we call them the legacy names. And then ICANN opened the first round of introducing new GTLDs in the year 2000, and this resulted in the creation of six more, or maybe seven more names, which you can see on the screen, Aero, Biz, Info, Museum, Name, Coop, and so on and so forth. And then we had another round in 2003, 2004, resulted in more names, the recent of which, or the most recent of which, was .post, which is yet to be added to the root. In fact, ICANN has just signed the agreement with the UPU, the UN organization for the post or the postal sector, and that was signed in December of last year. And then ICANN has been asked by the community to consider another round of GTLD names, taking into account, first of all, taking into account the lessons learned from the previous rounds, and two, also trying to make this round more of an ongoing process where those who want to put applications forward to ICANN to get new TLDs can do that through a predefined process with a set of policies and rules. Just again, a very quick to differentiate between GTLDs and CCTLDs. GTLDs are three characters or more, so com, net, museum, travel, whereas CCTLDs are two characters, and CCTLDs are based on the ASCII two character strings defined by ISO, the International Standardization Organization, and they're defined in the 31666 list. Currently, we have more than 240 CCTLDs in the root and 21 GTLDs. As I said, policies with regard to GTLDs, this is something that ICANN has a major role to play in, while policies in relation to CCTLDs, this is something that is entirely left to the CCTLD registry operators to decide upon. The IDNs, or the internationalized domain names, having top-level domains in different languages and script, this is something that is going to be introduced in both GTLDs and CCTLDs, and we have already launched the fast-track process by which countries can apply to get their IDN CCTLD. We launched the process in November of last year, and so far we got 19 applications. The IDN GTLDs will be part of the new GTLD program, so as soon as the implementation plan of the new GTLDs is in place. Applicants can request IDN generic top-level domains as well. What we have so far, we have IDNs in the second level. I mean, there are registers around the world, whether generic or GTLD registers or CCTLD registers, who offer IDN registrations on their second level. So currently, for instance, you can go and register a domain name in Arabic under .com. But what doesn't exist so far is to have the full address in IDN, in Chinese, in Indian, and so on and so forth. And this is what ICANN is working or has been working on. And the fast track is already accommodating the requests coming from countries to get their IDN CCs. So with the new GTLD program, we expect more innovation in business models. We expect more communities to get their names on the DNS space. We expect maybe more and new businesses coming from developing countries in Africa and other parts of the world to get into the business of top-level domain names. We also expect more trends in names, like names that represent maybe brands, names that represent geographical territories, whether countries, cities, etc. So the whole picture of the domain name space is expected to change with the new GTLD program once it's opened up for application. I work in with ICANN in the Middle East. I come across different governments and different small and medium businesses in the Arab region and in other parts, and some of them foresee an opportunity in new GTLDs, either for them to register their second level names under new top level domains, maybe in Arabic or in Farsi or in other languages. Some also foresee an opportunity for getting into this business and trying to take advantage of being in the region, understanding the culture, knowing the business in the region, and try to get into this this game. Different entities and different stakeholders are interested in the process. Some governments are interested to get some of their geographical names into the space as well. It's not a secret that the League of Arab States has announced that they're considering a top-level domain called .arab, both in ASCII and in Arabic language. So there are some opportunities. I'm sure that in other parts of the world there are other opportunities too. Many communities and stakeholders are interested in the process and waiting on ICANN to finish up the implementation and open the door for applications. So what happened so far? The ICANN community had worked on the policy development since December 2005, and the policy got approved by the ICANN board in June 2008. And since then, the staff has been working on implementing the policy. We've had three versions of the implementation guidebook, or they call it the draft DAG, draft applicant guidebook. And we're currently in version 3. We're still dealing with some issues, as some of you will know, in relation to trademarks, in relation to security issues, scaling of the route, and so on and so forth. We're trying to deal and to resolve these issues, again, with help from experts and from members of the community, to be able to finalize the DAG and to go ahead with the launching of the application process. Some key points that are important to know. So the applicant could be any one, any entity, whether for-profit, non-profit, government, non-government, from any place around the world. Application will be through an online system that is going to be in English language. There have been some discussions about trying to also provide other options for other language communities. And to my knowledge, that is not going to be, at least in the first phase or the first round. Again, there are some there are some specific deadlines. So there will be like a window for the application. The application will be open in a certain date, and then there is a window of like 4 months to receive applications and then go into objection process. And I'm gonna go through the process in more detail in a minute. The draft implementation guidebook got all the details in relation to technical criteria, other operational and financial conditions that the applicant has to abide with. The fee for the application is $185,000. There are also other fees, like annual fee, like fees per transaction. Also, there are some like extra steps that may be needed in the process for objection, for disputes, etc. And those extra steps will need some or will entail some extra charges as well. So there will be expert panels for each and every part of the evaluation, whether technical panel, whether panels to look into, stability issues, into disputes, into objections. Objections will have to have some grounds, and those grounds were defined in the policy, and they're also mentioned in the DAG that is currently on its third version. Objection based on legal rights in relation to infringement of trademarks and IP rights. Community representation, if some applicant is claiming or is saying that he is representing certain community, then he has to show support from this specific community, and then there might be objection from members of the same community. Morality and public order, and this has been a very delicate issue, and it raised a lot of discussions within the ICANN community on how a certain panel would or could decide on a TLD per se based on morality and public order. There are some, as far as I remember, and I'm not an expert in the subject, but I remember there have been some grounds for this particular point based on like names that raise issues like racist to certain communities, religions, names that promote things related to child pornography and so on and so forth. Again, all these issues have been debated within the community. And different stakeholders have different views on all of that. Also string confusion is something that is, some panel will have to decide on whether or not the requested TLD causes any confusion with existing string or with another requested string as well. There are also expected to be names that are contended, like two or more applications asking for the same name. So, in the case that you know, one application is coming from or is coming based on, you know, it's community-based application, so the applicant will have the chance to request ICANN to decide on, you know, choosing one application based on evaluation criteria, not based on auction. And then if there is no way that the expert panel is able to, you know, to say that one application is better than the other, then the proposal currently in the DAG, that is auction, will be the only possible possible solution. So these are sort of like, you know, key things that are defined and, you know, described in more detail in the DAG, but we wanted to highlight. So the process will look like this. There is a simple and straightforward scenario that is the straight line in the top of this, the slide, that the application period or the application process opens for, you know, applications, and different entities will apply for their application, and this window will close at certain point, and then the initial evaluation process starts. And if everything goes, you know, fine, all documentation or requirements are fulfilled, no objections, no extended evaluation needed, no disputes whatsoever, so evaluation goes quite straight, then the application will move to the third and final stage or step of the process, which is the delegation. And this is the normal IANA delegation process that, you know, each and every new TLD has to go through. However, if the applicant is offering some sort of new services that is seen to be out of the standard, you know, TLD services, something that is maybe that requires a security and stability panel to look at to make sure that it doesn't, you know, impact any security issues in relation to the route. So then an extended evaluation is needed in that case. So that will take a bit more time to look at. Again, if someone files an objection on a certain application, then there is an objection process and a panel that will have to decide on the objection as well. If there is a contention on a certain string, then there is also a process to, you know, resolve the contention and decide on which string should be, or which applicant should take the string. So this is, in a nutshell, how the evaluation process looks like. Now, what happened in the past year that ICANN had received many questions in relation to time frame. So when do you expect to launch the process? And the other question was, and how many applications do you expect? And to be honest, maybe we as ICANN didn't have very good answers to either question. I mean, we used to provide some timelines, and to some extent we failed to, you know, meet those timelines to some extent, based again on the questions and the points that have been raised by the community in relation to trademarks, other security issues, what we call the overarching issues. And also the other question in relation to the number of applications that we expect. We couldn't tell. I mean, do we expect 100 applications or 1,000 applications? And it totally depends on, you know, different factors, because some applicants would go public and, you know, announce their plans regarding their, you know, new TLDs, and some would rather keep it low profile and just, you know, not to disclose any information till the process is open. So based on a discussion that took place in the ICANN meeting in Seoul in October, there was the suggestion for ICANN to launch an expression of interest process by which ICANN would know how many entities are interested in the process, and then how many new TLDs are expected, at least in the first round. So ICANN has put forward, or has posted a a model for the EUI, what we think it should look like. We thought it should be a mandatory model. It shouldn't be voluntary, because if we want to know how many serious applications are there, we can't leave it like voluntary for each and everyone to either tell us whether he's interested or not. But this has raised a number of discussions, and I'm not sure whether you had the chance to attend the EUI panel yesterday. There was some discussion, and as some of you have noticed that there isn't an agreement on whether the EUI should be mandatory or not. Some believe it should, some believe it shouldn't. Some believe there shouldn't be an EUI in the first place, because they think that, well, EUI is no difference than the actual application process, so why do we need this extra phase? However, what we think as ICANN, we think that the and this is very important. We think that the EUI is a key part of the application process. So the classical application process that we thought of, which I presented in a couple of slides before, is not going to be the same thing with the UI. The UI will be a part of the application process whereby the applicant will provide ICANN with some information about the application, and then there will be some more details that will be requested when the door is opened for application. The other thing in the UI that ICANN is suggesting is to have a deposit of 55,000. This is part of the application fee, so it's not like an additional fee. So the application fee, as I said, is 185K. So this 55 is part of this 185, means that the applicant will, having paid this amount, he will have to pay an extra 130K when he puts his application afterwards. So this is not an extra fee. And again, the reason we needed, or we proposed to have this kind of fee, is to have some, to be able to prove or to guarantee that the process is a serious one. I mean, that people who, put their expression of interest and put also money along with that are serious in their applications. And also we said that this deposit is non-refundable unless the process is not launched in a certain time frame. So, for instance, if ICANN doesn't launch the new GTLD process in, like, I'm not sure how many months, maybe 18, whatever, then this amount will be refundable. We also think that the information that the applicant provides within the UI should be made public for transparency. Again, there isn't an agreement on any of these points, by the way. It's still discussed, and it will be before the board in their meeting this coming Friday to decide whether or not to go with the UI. So I'm just briefing you on the background of the issue. There will also be a communication campaign prior to the launching of the UI. So if the board approves the UI, that doesn't mean that ICANN will go the next day launching the UI. It means that ICANN will go the next day launching a communication campaign about the UI, educating people and, making them aware of what the UI is about, so that by the time the UI is launched, then people would have known what it's about. During the UI phase, there isn't any evaluation going to take place. That is part of the application. And there is a small mistake in this slide. DPR is dispute resolution process. Again, it meant to say DPR will not occur at this time. Okay, it's not will occur, it's will not occur. So the UI is only for gathering information from serious applicants. No evaluation, no disputes whatsoever. That's going to be part of the application and the evaluation process. And again, there are some prerequisites to the UI. again, apart from the board resolution that has to adopt the UI process, the draft applicant guidebook version 4 has to be ready before we launch the UI, and we expect this to happen sometime before the Brussels meeting. Some of the open issues should also be resolved before the UI is in place, like the vertical integration and the discussion about separation between registries and registrars. And there have been some proposals in that regard. So we think this is something we could resolve before launching the UI. The IDN three-character thing, again, this is one of the requirements that came from the non-ASCII communities, the non-English communities who requested and who told ICANN that in languages like Chinese and maybe other languages, there are meaningful words that could be made from one or two characters or strings. It doesn't have to be three or more. And that's why, again, there was some working group that had worked on this subject, and they proposed some solutions for that matter as well. So these are things we think could be sorted out before the UI is in place. And as said, there has to be a communication campaign before the UI. We expect a minimum time of 4 months, from the time that the board approves the UI to the launching of the UI, if it got approved. And of course, inside ICANN, we're also working on operational readiness. We have to be ready for receiving the expected applications. In terms of staff and internal processes, and putting the required expert panels in place to deal with the different items of the process. So, in a nutshell, there are a number of open issues currently available for public comments. And this is a kind of, brief or just headlines on these topics. And they're all these documents are available on the ICANN public participation site for public comments. And they're available for public comments, I think, till sometime in early April. So I'd encourage those who are interested in the process to go and check, the topics that you might be interested in, and to provide your feedback. Some of those topics have to do with trademarks, some have to do with the agreements between registries and ICANN and whether those agreements need to be revised or not. Some have to do with security and malicious activities, and there will be a workshop this, I think it will be on Thursday, on the malicious acts in relation to domain names. So again, those who are interested in the topic may attend that one. On IDNs, there is the issues in relation to the three character variants and the IDN. I mean the three character strings and the variants. What's next? We the board will have to decide on the UI whether yes or no. We will have to continue with our communication campaign anyway. And if the UI is going to take place, then we'll have to dedicate a great part of this campaign, particularly for the UI, and to let people know about this particular process. We'll continue to work on resolving the different issues in relation to trademarks and other overarching issues. We'll work on making the fourth version of the draft guidebook ready before the Brussels meeting in June. And we don't expect this version to be the last and final version, but it will be sort of the pre-final one. Again, the internal operational readiness within ICANN, and putting the different expert panels together. Again, there are documents and materials on the ICANN website, so I included the link if you want to go there and, you know, check what documents are posted. Thank you, and if you have any questions, I'll be glad to take them. Thank you. Any questions? Yep.
Thank you very much. My name is Murioki Muraidi from Kenya. And thank you very much for the presentation and using the word Asante. Now, has there been any study or study to come out to get a feel of just how many GTLDs could be potentially licensed through that process? Because to me, it appears that there could be very many. Regional names seems acceptable. Brads, as we know, we have so many. Languages. So we could have a very large number through this process. One criteria that I think could be a limiting factor is the $185,000 registration, which may work against developing countries, against smaller companies who may also want to get a share of the space. So how are you handling that?
Okay, thank you. This is a very good question, and I think it's twofold. One is in relation to the study and whether or not there has been a study on, you know, the market thing. To my knowledge, there hasn't been any study per se to speculate how many applications are we expecting. There have been speculations, and as I said, this was one of the questions that we used to get in the past couple of years, and we didn't have a good answer to. And this is one reason why some community members asked ICANN to launch to propose a model for an expression of interest process. So having this expression of interest process in place and having it with some measures that guarantee that, you know, serious applicants would express their interests and would, you know, provide the requested measures for that. So this would help ICANN have, answer to your first question, how many applications do we expect? Regarding the second part in relation to, you know, the application fee and, you know, developing countries, yeah, this has been one of the issues ever since, you know, ICANN came up with the first draft guidebook or applicant guidebook. And to be honest, the financials of the application or of the applications have been made based on cost recovery. So it's numbers. I mean, so ICANN or ICANN's cost in relation to the new GTLD program is this amount, which was, you know, posted in detail. And in one of the ICANN meetings last year, I think it was in Sydney, we had a session with our CFO explaining, you know, the details of the financials of the process. So the numbers, you know, were based on some fundamental financial things, which I'm not an expert in. But yeah, you're right. I mean, developing countries, they are concerned. And maybe one answer to this, and I know some or few people in the Middle East, small businesses, that they are looking for, fundraising mechanisms, based on, you know, they're working on some business plan and stuff like that. So they're trying to approach some fundraising entities to help with that. So, you know, this is how it is. Does that answer the question? Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for that presentation. My name is Toela, and I'm from NEPAD. He asked basically the first part of my question. The second part of my question really is just trying to get an understanding of how these new fees compare to what was charged previously, and also to understand whether these fees are static forever or they're likely to change in the future?
Okay, thank you. So those fees, so there was a document posted a year and a half ago when we came out with the first draft guidebook. And in this document, all the details, the financial details of the process were described together with the fees, or not actually the fees, but the cost that ICANN had incurred in the past applications of 2000 and 2004. And one of the things that we need to realize is that this application, or this application round, is quite different from the previous ones. I mean, the previous ones were limited. When ICANN opened the door in 2000 for new GTLDs, there were sort of preset conditions that were opening the door for a limited number of you know, strings or applications that should represent a real need coming from certain communities and so on and so forth. So we ended up having a few applications, and we ended up having 6-7 you know, strings added to the route, and the same was the case was the same in the second round, 2004. But currently we're dealing with a much open process with you know, anywhere from community-based names to brands to city names to generic to whatever. So the details of the process and the implications of the proposed names and the potential TLDs is totally different. So that's why it needed a lot of pre-work in relation to policy, you know, preparation, and this took like 3 years. And it also needed a lot of work in relation to implementation. So we've been working on implementation like for 18 months or 16 months, and we're not there yet. And it will also need more to happen with the expert panels that we're going to use for different technical and legal and, you know, business issues that we're going to deal with. So there is no way we can actually compare between the fees that we're, you know, requesting or requiring for this fees and what we used to do in the past.
Hi, Paul Foody. The 55,000 is non-refundable, even if your application is rejected. Is that right?
Okay, so the 55,000 is non-refundable unless the program is not launched. So you will pay 55,000, and then ICANN will launch or will open up the application process. You will have to pay the extra amount of the application thing, and then you will get through the evaluation process. So if the application is rejected, then the amount is not refundable.
Okay, and will it be rejected? Are the expressions of interest, are they rejected at that stage?
No. As I said, I mean, there is no evaluation nor objection dispute in the expression of interest process.
Okay, so effectively the $55,000 gets you the right to go through to the next stage, where you pay another $130,000, and at that stage your application may be rejected, and you get nothing back.
Yeah, although I must be honest with you, because again, in one of the discussions we had or we've had in the past, there was it was mentioned that ICANN will or may consider refunding part of the 185K. Personally, I'm not sure what this part is, and I'm not sure if this has been, you know, agreed upon. You know, the whole thing is still in the draft process, so nothing. I couldn't say that nothing has been finalized.
No, there are Nigerian scam artists who would, you know, must be kicking themselves they didn't think of this themselves.
Yep.
Hello, Alexander Schubert, founder of .gay. We will apply for a top-level domain GAY,
yep.
GAY, So my question is, if there will be an EOI, and we pay $55,000 and we reveal the string or the strings we would like to apply for. You mentioned that maybe at the end of the EOI, there's, I don't know how you said that, but the money will be given back to the people and the process will be completely changed.
No, what I said that the 55,000 will be refundable under one condition, is the whole program, the new GTLD process or application process has been, you know, cancelled. Okay, we're not launching the thing. So then you will get your 55,000.
It's, for me, it's not about the money. It's about you reveal the string or the strings you're applying for. As long as everything goes like it is planned, and you're the only one, for example, no one can come to your way.
Yeah.
But if after, let's say, 2 years, the whole plan will be changed, and they say, okay, we will launch new TLDs, but all this EOI stuff and what we did in the past, we kind of skip it and we start new. Okay. We give you your 55,000 back, but then our string is out. I mean, gay is anyway out, but maybe we have other strings.
Yeah, well, so again, to be honest, I mean, what's proposed so far in the EOI is that EOI would help ICANN, you know, with, you know, some of the problems that we need to resolve, you know, in relation to the root scalability thing, market demand, etc. It will not solve, you know, everything. So that's why we said we're not going to launch the EOI until we deal with some of the other problems like, you know, vertical integration, etc. Now, in relation to your question about money, what's been said is that the 55,000, I mean, is non-refundable unless the program is not being launched. It's never been said that, okay, in 2 years we're going to change everything and then we're not going to get you the money back. It actually says that if the program is not launched in a reasonable time frame, then you will get your money. So, and I know that the next question would be, so what would this reasonable time frame be? So this is part of the discussion on the EOI, and I'm sure that you've seen the, you know, all the comments that came on the document and all the discussion of yesterday panel.
Okay. I'm not, yeah, so much...
Okay. Yeah. Is EOI an open box for those?
Well, this is one of the points that is, again, I mean, ICANN is suggesting, you know, transparency and to make everything, you know, available. Again, it doesn't mean that, well, I mean, maybe part of the information should be kept confidential. In yesterday's panel, some people said, well, no, it has to be all transparent. Others said it has to be all confidential. So, you know, this is part of the discussion that we're currently having.
The point what I wanted to make is there are some people out there who would like to apply for a string, but they don't want that others know which string they're applying for.
Yes.
And if the EOI is somehow cancelled, the string is out, and then everyone can try to go for it.
Yeah, understand.
And I was asked to remind people that, unfortunately, this session ends in 5 minutes,
yeah,
and the next group is going to want to come in. So.
Yep.
Sorry, something I forgot. In the mandatory requirements, there was nothing like the domicile of the applicant. Is it an oversight, the domicile, or the registration, the company, the sponsor,
yeah,
organization? It is not appearing in the mandatory requirements. So does this open application to a non-entity, or
yeah,
what was,
well,
the process?
No, it's open for any entity that could show in its application its operational, financial, and technical, you know, readiness for this thing. Okay, if there isn't any more questions, so I thank you very much for coming, and we'll see you through the week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.